2 Timothy chapter number 3. We won't ask you to sit down and stand back up. And as these kiddos make their way there, let's read the word together. Read with me there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 as we finish this up, and or at least for this week, and then for all month we've been in these two verses, and we just want to try to bring some closure to that today. Paul's writing, and he's saying to this young preacher pastor, he says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Father, again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and sing praises to your name. Father, to lift our voice and sing about the blood, and to think about one day when we finally have escaped this world and we're out of this world and we're going to be happy in your presence forevermore. And Lord, even when 10,000 years passes by, Father, it still won't be enough time to sing praises to your name, because Father, you should be and are our heart's desire. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. You may be seated. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, as we close this out. Before I get and jump into there, I want to say again a little bit about our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Again, our goal was $3,692, and you guys just gave sacrificially, and you guys gave $4,400 and some odd. Don't know the change, I'm just talking round numbers, but it was over $4,400, and that's amazing. Amen. Glory to God for that. Thank you for giving sacrificially. Soon and very soon, whether you believe it or not, this is the last Sunday of January, February, March, and then Easter's here. So we're going to start talking about the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American Missions. North American Missions. North American Mission Board. NAMB, as they call it. N-A-M-B. I read some numbers on their page, their website the other day, and they were talking about North American Mission Board services the United States, of course, Canada, Puerto Rico, Guam, the U.S. Virgin Islands, that's considered U.S. territories, those kinds of things. So North America, United States, Canada, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, and in the American Samoa. So in all of that area that they cover, they say that represents about 363 million people. 363 million people that North American Mission Board has missionaries and or chaplains out there engaged in these people groups. 363 million people that represents 350 different language groups. 350 different language groups in 363 million people. That's amazing, isn't it? That's quite a task. And then it says that in that there's 14 plus different religions that they also encounter. But the shocking number is this. They say that out of 363 million people that North American Mission Board is ministering to, their estimation is about 273 plus million people that are lost and undone without the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're talking about North America. We're talking about the United States and Canada. You know, and I've always said I've been internationally. There's a lot of glamour. Sometimes it's easier to take somebody out of this country than it is to go next door. But I want to say this to you, my heart, it beats for the United States. There's places in our country. I have a friend in Pennsylvania that is the missionary in 9.5 counties, and it's 23 churches and chapels that are in the Southern Baptist Convention preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of isms and things and a lot of untruth there in those region. But in 9.5 county, 3 million people, 27 churches and chapels that he has, and there's a desperate need for the gospel, and even in Pennsylvania. And when we think about the mission field, we think only some third world country or only some, you know, poor, destitute place. And we're talking about right here in America that there is a drought of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. So when we challenge you about Annie Armstrong and that mission, that Easter offering, we pray that you'll be giving, you'll give just like you gave to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, that you'll give sacrificially toward that. Because again, 100% of those monies that you give and I give, that we give to the Annie Armstrong, 100% of that money goes to the mission field to keep those missionaries, those families, those chaplains, those people out there engaging 350 language groups in 14 religions and 273 estimated million people that are lost without hope in this world. So when you give, I pray that you'll give sacrificially toward that. When we establish when the women's ministry and others establish an offering goal. So again, it's good to see you this morning. We're going to kind of jump right in there. And we've been talking about this being a disciple of God, man of God. And I say this every week now, I have for four. This is not a position specific passage of scripture. Paul is talking to a young preacher. We understand that. It's not a gender-specific position. He's not. Yes, Timothy is a man, but he's not just talking to a man. There's application for every one of us today in this 21st century that this passage of scripture applies to us as disciples, believers, followers of Jesus Christ. And if you and I are going to be thoroughly equipped followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of God, people that are on the ministry line, can I get just a? I'm not going to raise hands, but can I get just somebody to say, let the scriptures declares, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're saved this morning, can you just give the Lord a big amen? Amen. All right, so with that, everybody that just said amen, guess what? The Bible says that you too are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you said amen, that makes you part of the ministry team of First Baptist Church of Grant. If you are a member and you are here, if you're a guest, we want you to be a member one day. We want you to keep coming back. But if you're a member and you're a believer and follower, even if you're not a member of this church, if you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ and you said amen, you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. Amen? There's no getting out of that. There's no way to change that. You say, well, I'm not the pastor. I'm not the worship leader. I'm not the youth person. I'm not the children's person. It doesn't matter. There's a difference there. We're talking about vocational staff and just being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which every person that names the name of Jesus as Lord of their life, you are an ambassador, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this passage is for you and I this morning. And with that, then when we talk about being thoroughly equipped, we've talked about now for 3 weeks this discipleship process and how important it is for you and I to read God's Word. Kelly and I were at home and she's in a different, her reading this year is completely different from mine. Normally we're reading the same thing, so we're kind of talking about the same thing at home. And this year I'm reading a different plan than she. And she said, you know, she got to laughing. I said, what are you laughing about? She said, well, she's reading in the New Testament where the enemy, the devil, takes Jesus out in the wilderness. And he says, hey, if you're hungry, why don't you turn that stone into bread? And Jesus said, it's written, man's not supposed to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? So with every temptation, he yielded that rhema, the sword, and he spoke scripture to even the enemy. And the enemy said, well, why don't you just cast yourself off that pinnacle up there and surely God will give his angels charge over you that you wouldn't dash even your foot against a stone. And he says, it's written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then my favorite part of that is what we were laughing about. The enemy said to him, said, I'm going to carry you up to this place and I want to show you all these kingdoms. And if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. Isn't that funny? That the enemy's trying to give away something that don't belong to him. You know, I get a kick out of that. We laughed about that. I would have said that none of it's already mine, but that's not what he said. You know, again, it's written. So if you and I are going to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and we're going to be out there on the line, on the firing line, so to speak, then you and I have to be directed and devoted and dependent upon the scripture as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ so we can be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Amen? Make sense? Go like this. If it don't, go like that. Cool. One of my seminary professors used to say, go like this, and he can hear it rattle around in there, you know, something like that. But the disciple of God, the man of God, must be devoted to the Scripture, committed to the Word of God, committed to the Scripture. And then we said that not only do we need to be devoted to the Scripture, we said the man of God or the disciple of God must be directed by the Scripture. For this reason, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable, or is good for what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right, right? And we talked about all those things for 2 weeks. And then today we're going to finish up and we're going to talk about being devoted, or being dependent on the Word of God. So with that said, verse 17, look at that verse with me one more time here in our passage. And he says, he says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now I'm reading the New King James. Somebody that's reading the King James, somebody was reading King James, or yet, what does that say? Perfect, thoroughly furnished. The word perfect. Now, Paul, when he's talking about perfect, that's not the same Greek word as being without error, because there's no one without error. Amen? If there's anyone here without error, raise your hand. Take mine down. So we're all on the same page, right? But when that word perfect means complete, it's the same Greek word means complete. It's not talking about salvation there. It's talking about you and I being well-rounded. You and I being equipped. Perfect, complete. And whatever other translation you're reading, I don't know what it says in that passage, but that's the idea there in the passage, that he wants us to be perfect and complete. And I think it's interesting. Listen to what the word that's translated there when it says perfect or complete. In the Greek, it means capable of doing everything that we're called to do. Capable. If you have a need, Hannah, my youngest kid, lives in Birmingham, works at the hospital, car left her lights on, battery went dead, had to get it jumped off, drove it home. I'm only going to say this because my daughter's female, and that's all I'm saying about that. That's all I'm saying about that, okay? But she drove it home. She only lives about 4 blocks from the hospital. Didn't think anything about the fact that she probably needed to leave that running for a little bit so the battery would charge, right? Guess what? Went to bed for 12 hours or 10 hours, whatever it was, to get up to work another 12-hour shift, comes out and tries to crank her car, and guess what? It's dead again. Guess what? She walked to work that day. It's at least 4 blocks downhill from Five Points to the hospital. It's not too bad. It's not like you had to walk uphill. So from that, her and her friend, they're going to jump it off the next day. To her defense, there is no positive and negative on her battery that you can see. When I got the cables off, you can see the positive and negative little thing under the battery, the clamps. Apparently, they put them on backwards. She asked me, she said, her car was smoking. I said, well, that's because you're trying to run. But anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. So a friend of mine tells me what to do to maybe reset that check engine light to get it. It'd crank and run fine. But it's unresponsive to the gas pedal. You know why? Because when you try to jump it backwards, your car has a safety system built in that instead of blowing up the alternator and a lot of other things, it blows this alternator fuse. It's a block, fuse block. It's only about $20. But it's about 3 hours, man hours, at the Toyota dealership to get it done. So you know what that bill is. Amen? Not to mention the fact that when you call a wrecker, it's $75 to hook it up, to drag it up on the rollback, and then it's $4 a mile. But I just chalk that up to experience, right? So if you don't know which one's positive or negative, don't hook it up backwards. And I say all that to say, when I can't fix it, I'm not a mechanic. I crank the car, put gas and oil in, and I have it changed. I do all those things. That's not my thing. So when it's broke down, she says, what are we going to do, Daddy? I said, we have to call somebody that's capable of fixing that. Right? Because that's outside of my gifts. I think if it's not running, you're supposed to get rid of it and get one that runs. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He says, listen, all this word, this theopneustos, this word of God, spoken from God's mouth to man's ears, pinned down on pages, so you and I would have a copy of this. This is all inspired of God, verbally, plenary inspiration, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable, so you and I will be capable of accomplishing everything that we're called to do. So when people tell me, I'm just not gifted to do that, I say, that's just not true. That's just not my, you know, I can't. Well, maybe it's you can't do that specific thing, but we can all do something. Amen? Because God has said the man of God that's saved by God has been given the Spirit of God and the Word of God so that you would be perfect and complete, able to accomplish everything that you and I are called to do. So, there's no excuse, really. I mean, if you want to get down to it, there's really no excuse not to serve and serve somewhere in some capacity because you've all been gifted that way. Amen? Then why is it that even, like right now, our church, we keep asking for people to serve in children's church and this and that and the other. And you say, well, that's just, well, maybe it's not your call, but somebody's is that's already here. Brother Merlin prayed this morning, and I think this is true. I say to you, it's one plants, one waters, but it's God that gives the increase. But when you and I get serious about God, and we get serious about the kingdom of God, and we're inviting our friends and calling our neighbors and telling people about Jesus and bringing our young couple friends. And we said last week, everybody raised their hand in this place that said, I know somebody that could benefit from being in church every week that's being taught the Word of God somehow, some way that's beneficial to them, that everybody knows somebody. And until we get serious about that, we're going to keep seeing what we see on a regular basis. Enabled to meet all the demands of ministry and righteous living. Again, thoroughly equipped, complete. You and I, again, are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just the pastor, not just the paid staff, not just the deacon body, but every person that claims the name of Jesus Christ, you're called to be a minister. And God said, I've enabled you to be a minister of the gospel, and I've given you everything you need, and not only that, for righteous living as well. Because that's the reason he gave us this inspired word of God. So as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we belong to God. We know that. We're bought and paid for with a price. And individually, I think this is pretty cool though. When I think about how that individually, God has invested in me and you. Individually, he's invested in me and you. All that's needed to fulfill our functions in the home, in the church, and in the world that we live in. You know that threefold, the priesthood of the believer, the prophet, priest, king, in your home and in your life, that God's called you and he's equipped you to be able to do that and accomplish that to his glory. Now, it won't be as easy separate or to divorce from the Word of God. That's why Paul is saying to Timothy, he says, he puts the emphasis on the Scripture. And then he draws him to, says, if you're going to be complete and perfect and thoroughly furnished for every good work, it's going to be because you read, study, know God's Word. And I can't say that and stress that enough, that if we're going to be, and if we're going to do everything that God wants us to be, and we're going to accomplish everything that he wants us to accomplish, it's paramount that we be dependent upon the Word of God. Amen? That you and I, our dependency on the Word of God, equipped by the Spirit of God and engaged in the service of God, is God's plan. It's not the abnormal, it's the normal. I want to say that again. Listen to what I just said. To be dependent on the Word of God, equipped by the Spirit of God, and engaged in the service of God, is the normal plan for everybody that claims Jesus as Lord of their life. It's not the abnormal. We often think about the abnormal as somebody that's living out their faith, that's serving God, that's kind of a zealot for Christ, or you know, and our young people on your campus at school, you don't want somebody to know that you're all, you know, that you're totally in with the God thing, because sometimes that's not the coolest place to be. And I say to you, if you claim the name of Jesus, then the coolest place and the best place to be is be all in for God. Amen? And you and I, that's the normal life that should be on display. Not some abnormal life, you know. We go, oh, yeah, you know, they're a, who was it, Third Day or somebody sang that song. Or maybe it was, I don't think it was Toby Mac, but somebody sang the song, Jesus Freak. Someone. DC Talk, there you go. I'm a Jesus freak. We think that's the abnormal. And I say to you, according to the Word of God, that should be the normal. Amen? Should be the normal. And so, with that said, we're going to kind of look at this for just a few more minutes. The man of God must, or the disciple of God, again, not gender specific or positionally specific, but the man of God or the disciple of God must be devoted to the Scripture, be directed by the Scripture, and today we're going to talk about being dependent upon the Scripture. If we're dependent upon the Scripture, the reason that verse 16 is there, how to tell us what's right, not right, how to get right, and how to stay right, is because that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so to be equipped by the Spirit of God is the only way to be complete in God. It's the only way to, you and I are going to accomplish everything that you and I need to do for the glory of God. And again, you cannot separate or divorce the Word of God from the Spirit of God. There is no substitute here. Listen, I understand today the battle that's being raised between, you know, the different denominations and some of the belief systems out there. You know, we have some that are very reserved in the way that they worship. They're never going to get very loud, and they're going to be very conservatively directed by the Word of God. And then you're going to have some out there that are going to shout and flip and flop and do all of that and say that that's the most important part. And I say to you, listen to this. I say somewhere in the middle there's got to be a balance. To have all Word and no Spirit, we're going to dry up. To have all Spirit and no Word, you're going to flame up. But when you get Word and Spirit, guess what happens? You grow up. It's time, it's past time for the believer and the church to grow up. Amen? Move on from the milk. That's reserved for the babe. Move on to some solid food and service. Paul wrote in his prison times, he wrote two different letters to, or he wrote one letter to two different churches. Two different letters from the same place to two different churches. I'm going to get it out in a minute. Let me say that one more time. Two different letters from the same place in prison. Two different letters from the same place to two different churches. To the church at Colossae, he said, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Colossians 3:16. And then he says to the Ephesian believers, he says, don't be drunk with wine to the point of excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's Ephesians 5:18. What's interesting is, if you look at both of those passages, the very words following those, he says to one he emphasizes the Word of God. To the other he emphasizes the Spirit of God. And the words that follow are exactly the same in both places. So Paul writes two different letters from one place to two different churches. And he's saying, listen, I can't stress it enough. You have to have the Word of God with the Spirit of God if you're going to be equipped for every good work of God. Amen? And you and I, sometimes we try to divorce one or the other, and we don't do what we're supposed to do, nor are we able, or we're not capable of doing that because we don't have the right tools. Again, it's not one truth or the other, but both. Word of God, Spirit of God, so that we grow up. All Word, no Spirit, dry up. All Spirit, no Word, we flame up. And all but Word and Spirit, we grow up in Christ. Amen? And when we combine the two, we grow up. And that word there, talking about being complete and able for any occasion and any situation. Look, take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. I said this last Sunday night, but I love the passage. It's Hebrews chapter 13. If you look real quick. Look at Hebrews 13 first, and then we'll kind of go to one other place real quick. Hebrews 13 and verse number 21 Same idea when Paul is talking. And again, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. If you don't, that's fine. We'll agree to disagree, and then it won't make any difference with that. But he says, look at verse 21. He says, make you complete. Now he's given his benediction. He says, in verse 20, he says, may the God of peace that who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. Again, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about being enabled, equipped. He says, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom he glory forever and ever. Amen. Look back to chapter number 11, the same book, Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse number 3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And it's interesting there that the word that he used, framed, in Hebrews chapter 11, it means to be, the concept is in the verb uses there, it's that of equipping so that something might be made ready to fulfill its purpose. The world was framed by the Word of God. Listen, you and I are complete by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, framed to accomplish everything that God wants us to do and be for His glory. Amen. That's good stuff right there. That's good stuff. And when we do that, it's amazing what can happen. So, to be thoroughly equipped by the Spirit of God, and then we must be engaged in the service of God. Again, back in our text in 2 Timothy, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Equipped for every good work. Ephesians 2:10 says that we're God's masterpiece, right? We're His workmanship. Before the world was, that He has ordained that there would be works that we would do. Before the world was, that we're saved by God's grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Amen? And then he says that now the reason that you're here, and the reason that I'm here, and the reason we walk this planet is because there are works that God foreordained before the world ever was, before you and I were ever conceptually thought of, or physically conceived, or spiritually reborn. God had works established that you and I would walk therein. And he said, I'm going to make that so by the Word of God and the Spirit of God in your life. Today, if somebody's called to, I mean, how many teachers, school teachers, are in the room? 1, 2, 3, 7, 11, 12, 18? I don't know, a bunch of y'all. Before they would give you a classroom, did you have to get a teaching certificate? Did you have to get a degree? Yeah? So at some point you got an education. Somebody equipped you. And I know they don't give you everything you need. Same is true in seminary. I understand that. I do. God bless you. And what you're having to do today with all the demands that's on you, it's very little time to teach a class. I know, with all the evidence boxes and everything else that you got to do, and just the day of just trying to educate some kids and make them smarter, hey man, some of that's tough on you today. But you were educated, you were equipped to accomplish the task. Even more so than whether your degree's from Jacksonville, Alabama, or Auburn, or anywhere else, I went to the best school. I say that if you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, you have the best of the best to educate you. God said, I saved you for this reason. I've equipped you by the Word of God and the Spirit of God to accomplish everything that you're supposed to do in this world for the glory of God. Just yield to that. And say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm so glad God had a plan for each of us. And I don't know about you, but I just turned 54. My birthday was December the 30th, and so I'm 54 years old. And I'm like, Kelly laughed at me the other day because I got a thing in the mail for AARP. So, does that make you old if you're 54? Somebody say no. Amen. I didn't think so either, but. Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. You're touche. I did pay the $12, though, to get my AARP card because I got a free organizer or something to go in my car. So, and we are going to Germany to see my kid. I told Kelly, I said, they claim there's travel discounts. See if there are, if we get, of course there's not, so that's not true. But I don't know how much time I have left on this planet. I don't know. The life's uncertain, isn't it? I mean, you know, you hear about somebody that, my neighbor, I was talking to her the other day. She came by, she said something was missing out of her car. She just wanted everybody in the neighborhood to know. And we were talking about her sister, and her sister and brother-in-law were in New Orleans on a little mini vacation over the weekend, not recently, but about a year ago. And he's 30-some-odd years old, and he has some history of some heart stuff, but they were in one store, and he reached up to grab her by the shoulder and said, I'm about to, and drop dead in the store. 30-something years old. So life is uncertain at best, right? I mean, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Life is but a vapor that appears for a moment in time, and then it's gone. But I know this. With whatever time I got left, and I think it's a good attitude to have for everybody that's a believer, I want to keep, with whatever time I got left, and I want to keep finding and following and finishing God's plan that He has for my life for His glory. Amen. Don't you think that's a good plan? I mean, come on now. I mean, if you just want to, look, let's move from just maybe the mundane to say, okay, God, if I got 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, I want to keep discovering every day or finding your plan that you have for my life because you've equipped me. You've already said that you've done everything that I need to be successful to your glory. I want to keep finding that and discovering that every day and following that every day. And I want to finish that, and I want to finish it well to the glory of God. That's a good plan for anybody. And it starts when you and I make God's Word a priority in our life, and we're being enabled and equipped, and we follow the leadership of the Spirit of God in our life, then nothing can stop us. Amen? Amen. From stay-at-home moms or dad, or to the professor or teacher in the classroom, to the factory worker in the plant, or the professional in the building, or whatever else that it is in life, let's find and follow and finish God's plan for His glory for our lives. You know, earlier this morning or a few minutes ago, we said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And people that said amen said you were a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. So I want to say to you today that you're part of an exclusive club, because ministry, Christian ministry, is an exclusive calling. And you said you're a follower. That makes you part of that exclusive calling. Then let's finish well. I mean, it doesn't matter how you started. It doesn't matter if you're 30 and you say, well, I've never made God's Word a priority in my life, or you're 50. Or you're 70 or older, and you said, I've just never made God's Word a priority in my life. I go to church, I go to Sunday school, I occasionally read my Sunday school devotional, or I read something, but it's never been a real priority. It doesn't matter how you started, but from today to whatever that day is, that either I drop dead or Christ comes and calls, let's make it a priority. Amen? And then see what God can do with all that. That's amazing. That's amazing to even think about. My responsibility and yours is to be found equipped by the Spirit of God and engaged in the service of God, and then realize that, you know, that our lives until Jesus returns, you know, are all about Him, and it's for His glory and for His honor. But it starts with making God's Word a priority, yielding to the leadership of the Spirit of God, and saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to share for a few minutes. We ask that you have your way in this invitation time. Lord, if there's someone that needs to, Lord, if they want to talk to me, if they just want to pray on that altar, we've already prayed. But if they feel like maybe this is the place that God wants them to serve, and they want to unite with this church, maybe they come this morning. Father, if they say, I'm a believer and a follower, but I've just never followed through, I've not been baptized, I want to be baptized and make that a public display of obedience to the glory of God, that today they'd be baptized. Or even that person that says, you know, everybody said amen with great confidence, and I didn't get a chance to do that, and I'm just not sure that if I die today that I'm going to heaven, and I want to know more about that. Can you help me with that? Whatever and however God leads this morning, would you come while we sing? Amen and amen.